in Ziploc that. Right on my waistline is why I kept that strap. I remember nights, I didn't remember nights. I damn near went crazy, I had to get it right. Now I'm your favorite rapper's favorite rapper. Hey, now I'm your favorite trapper's favorite trapper. The absolute truth, yeah, no joke. Who me? I emerged from the crack.
Oh, thanks for that intro, Mr. Jeezy. Back with another episode of the Trap Draw. Tron, how are you?
I'm a little nervous. We got DJ here chaperoning. There's been some concerns about...
Let's just keep it all above board. We won't have any problems, guys. The innocent have nothing to fear.
So that voice you just heard was Mr. DJ Pyhowski. Good to have you.
Thanks.
We are live in the Kill House, recording on a Thursday afternoon, and...
Technically, it's tape delayed.
It's tape delayed, yeah. You're probably listening to this sometime next week.
And the Kill House is an undisclosed location somewhere under par.
We have a good show for you today. I think we've kind of segmented it out. We want to get into some reaction and thoughts on the NCAA tournament that just wrapped up, both the men and the women. And then we're going to get into some web.com tour discussion.
Web.cool.
We were in Nashville a few weeks ago, as you may or may not know. Excuse me, Greenville. I'm having a stellar start here. We were in Greenville a couple weeks ago, and then Tron went over to Nashville and caddied for ZB in a tournament there. There was a bit of a rules fiasco that we'll hear about. And then, yeah, some parting shots at the end. So it should be a good show for you guys.
Solly took the mixer with him to Columbus.
Yeah, we actually did have
both mixers.
Good audio equipment. That's kind of, you know, I know this reflects poorly on me. It sounds a little tin canny probably, but.
We had to get back to our roots.
Had to get back to the roots. We can only do one of these at a time and. Solly kind of took precedence with the Lucas Glover pod.
Yeah.
Needed the big boy equipment.
Yeah, we're a small shop. So, well, let's dive right into it. Okay, I think the first thing on the to-do list here is the men's team tournament. All right, as everybody probably knows, Oklahoma State delivered quite the ass-kicking to Alabama in the finals. Defeated them 5-0.
The tide got rolled.
Yeah, the tide did get rolled.
They rocked them.
They were a disgrace, and Oklahoma State rocked them.
Carson Creek was hard.
Carson Creek looked kind of sweet.
What'd you think of Carson Creek?
I thought it looked cool. I mean,
massive piece of land.
It was an interesting piece of property.
Is it a Foz?
Yeah,
Mega Foz.
Yeah. They had sub airs. They didn't use them.
I didn't know that.
They were concerned that greens were crazy soft. They were concerned that it was going to be too hard.
Also out there,
if they used the sub airs.
I thought 17 and 18 was kind of a good two-hole finishing stretch, especially, you know, for the matches that made it that far.
Not many of them.
Not in the men's championship. Yeah. So, yeah, that was the first time I'd really seen Carson Creek. It looked interesting. It looked hard. I don't think I'd play well there.
Yeah, I kind of got the feeling that it didn't really look like a place that I would want to play, which is fine. Like, which isn't necessarily. I mean, it's not a knock. I think I just have a complicated relationship with golf. But it was fun to watch. I thought it was a good test, and it was cool to see guys hit shots. It was cool to see, as much as we kind of talk about width and angles and all that stuff all the time. I mean, it was still cool to see kind of hack out rough and that kind of stuff is still fun to see.
Yeah. So, quickly, if you didn't even happen to catch, you know, we said Oklahoma State beat Alabama. The top eight in the men's were all pretty much Southeastern schools. It was like the SEC, Duke from the ACC, and...
A couple Big 12s.
I think the biggest surprise was... Or the biggest disappointment of schools in Stillwater was probably Vanderbilt, would you say, Tron? Is that fair?
Yeah, they really spit the bit the last day there. I mean, Northwestern did a full Camilo.
They were leading after the first round and then missed the cut after the third round to even make the top 15.
Illinois missed it. They're kind of a stalwart.
DJ D-Funk and Nick Hardy. Yeah, it was kind of a bummer to see those guys show up. Cool to see Dylan Meyer birdie his last hole and kind of... sort of make a little bit of a run at the... definitely made a run. He finished like third in the individuals, I think, but not quite enough.
He played well Monday. Yeah. We'll talk about some individuals
Randy
here in a
minute.
Randy
was pretty crushed about Kent State.
So I was all on board the Kent State bandwagon for a couple reasons. I always, I grew up a huge Miami Red Hawk fan. So anytime there's a MAC school kind of in national competition, I tend to gravitate towards them. And then also, I'm sick of these Power 5 conference schools, with their resources and all the money in the world. They're just hoarding spots in these championships. And so I was really hoping a non-Power 5 kind of underdog, resource disadvantaged Kent State school would make it. And they played really well. They were inside the top eight really throughout the first three rounds, and then were right there battling out for that last spot on Monday. But
folks, Randy, the guy hates Amazon. Quicken Loans.
Uber.
Well, I think it's disgusting.
And Power 5 schools.
Yeah, I think it's disgusting. They get all the TV money, and, naturally it doesn't all stay with, football. It flows to men's basketball, of course, and then, it goes into the non-revenue sports, and it's an unfair advantage. It's an unlevel playing field. That's a good topic for another show, though.
I think a personal disappointment for me was smoking Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah.
His back's gonna get vaporized here in the next couple of years, I assume, too. Hopefully not, but from everything I hear, his move is not conducive to a long, healthy career.
I love it, though. The studs of Texas kind of became the forgotten man a little bit.
Well, so let's get into some individuals. So Brock Everett from Augusta won the individual national championship on the men's side.
How about Augusta State having two team titles and an individual title in, 5 years?
It's just Augusta now, DJ.
Is that right?
Yeah, they dropped the state.
It's the first I'm hearing of this.
Well, there was a big naming controversy a couple years ago. They were going to change it to Georgia Regents.
Oh, that's right.
So, all right, so can we get back to Everett? Brock Everett, the individual champ. Interesting backstory.
Yeah, okay, so I guess I started to go in on that. And I didn't know anything about it, but... apparently a big multi-sport guy growing up in Iowa.
We like that.
Yeah, we like that. Had really no junior golf resume because he was playing baseball and, wasn't just deep in the AJGA circuit. And I guess got in a car crash, which injured his shoulder, which, all of a sudden he can't play baseball, which, sounded like his main sport. And he kind of went to golf then. Walks on at Augusta. Doesn't play his freshman year, redshirts his freshman year. Apparently through a coaching change, and I'll quote Everett here. He said, "I was redshirting that year," referring to his freshman year. "And I know that the women's coach at the time, because we didn't have a head coach, she was like, yeah, he might not be the guy you keep around for another year." Which is incredible. And here he is, 4 years later, his first ever collegiate tournament win is the national championship.
And because of it, he's gotten an exemption into the fifth major.
The John Deere Classic.
The John Deere Classic.
Yeah. Which, kind of back home, Quad City area, Iowa, man.
Making dreams come
true. I remember this was always a hot topic of conversation back in my golf week days. Do you think the NCAA champion should get an exemption to the Masters?
They used to give the exemptions to the Walker Cup team, yeah. Right? In lieu of that, I feel like, yeah, maybe that's not the worst thing.
I would say
in
lieu of the runner-up at the USAM.
That's fair.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I maybe not. I don't know. But it seems like harder to... I don't know. The NCAAs is... the field can't look all that different than the USAM, probably. At least the kind of, the top tiers of it. But anyways.
What did...
Speaking of the Masters real quick and college golf, what do you guys think of Doug Gim? And specifically... is he a good pro? Is he 3-4 years from now? Is he a regular on the PGA Tour?
I didn't see a whole lot of him this week, but I know...
he didn't have a great week. I don't know.
At the USAM at...
but I know, he made the cut at the Masters
at Riv,
this year.
He looked awesome.
Yeah.
But his dad's also an alpha. His dad might be Greller's dad, too.
Maybe that's a bad take by me, because he got in to the Masters.
On the runner-up. Yeah.
So
I'm all for more amateurs in the
Masters. Well, that's what I was Yeah, I'm kind of like team take away pro spot and give it to the winner of the NCAAs.
Yeah.
I'd be fine
with... probably a bad take. But
no, I'd be fine with taking away a spot like of let's say... like I think anybody that wins a national open, like one of the 20 biggest national opens should get a spot in the Masters, but I don't think somebody who wins, say... the Farmers Insurance Open should get a spot in the Masters.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of moving parts to that take.
I mean, I like that just because of like the chaos that I'm sure
I
that
think
take
national opens
is going to create.
Yeah,
but
I think there's some logistics and sponsorship guys that would have the like, issue with
it's
that.
It's like
take.
If somebody, you know, like, wow, like, I'm all like for how it. Is this guy in the Masters? Oh, he won the Argentine Open.
Yeah, I'm all for burning the system. Yeah. You know that. Okay, so Doug Gim. I like Doug Gim. I was watching this week. I'm like, man, is he... I can't quite figure out if he's...
He looked pretty flat in some spots.
Yeah. But I'll ask this question then to you guys. Who did you see that you feel like, hey, that guy's going to be a tour regular sooner rather than later?
The big panda. Norman Zhang.
Storm and Norman.
Yeah.
I mean... you know, Wolfenstein, everybody was, Matt Wolf, everyone was,
holy clubhead speed Batman.
Yeah, everyone was pretty high on him, especially as a freshman.
Yeah.
That's probably the obvious answer, but.
I loved, his teammate, Christopher Ventura.
Yeah, classic swing.
Oh my God. Maybe my favorite move in the tournament. kind of not the most consistent player, but that's a guy, man, if it clicks. I would bet on him.
I think it's tough to put too much, like to flame guys too much for not showing up.
Oh yeah, it's such a small sample. Yeah, it's such a small sample.
Because it's also like it's on the front end of all the kind of the main amateur, stuff. I think like what did Braden Thornberry do last week? I didn't even really see him pop up.
Yeah, not much. As I'm furiously trying to pull up the leaderboard. But yeah, it was certainly an off week for him.
I think the
homerism that I'd like to see Dylan Meyer do something. I'm worried, you know, I don't know if he quite hits it far enough. I mean, that's probably lazy.
He's got like that Luke Donald Stricker game though.
I mean, he's kind of going in the opposite direction of the way that the PGA Tour is going. So we'll see. But
he might be a poor man's Curtis Luck.
He definitely seems like kind of the most efficient player out there.
Cerebral efficient.
Yeah.
I think the most impressive outfit of guys, for me at least, was Florida.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Randy, you're a big Florida guy.
I heard some great stories from some boots on the ground reporting about the Florida guys. Just maybe not the greatest attitudes out there on the course.
Pretty greasy.
Pretty greasy, pretty aggressively...
passionate, would you say?
Passionate.
Maybe dispassionate, too.
Yeah, maybe uncaring about, like, their playing partners or certain aspects of...
It sounded like maybe there was some infrastructure that got in their ways as well.
Clanging balls off the TV tower.
Yeah. You know, walking ahead down the next fairway while one of their group members was still putting out the hole behind them.
rules official getting into it with them.
Yeah. Some cavalier pace of play penalties levied against them, apparently.
But the pace of play thing was because he played ahead, right?
No, I don't think so. I think they somehow squeezed. It may not have been him. It was like maybe some other guys on the team. I don't know. It sounded like the officials, though, were like looking to do anything to keep them out of the top 15.
It's another story we heard from a couple sources. Nota and the Duke AD almost came to blows.
Yeah, Nota apparently was talking too loud, too close to the players, and the Duke AD was not having it.
The TV. The
TV was sick. Yeah.
Kudos awesome. To totally. Everyone involved with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Golf Channel broadcast it's stripped down. It's not egotistical in the least. It's really
golf.
Good. Yeah,
it's like the best elements of kind of like the Ryder Cup and European Tour coverage and kind of like jingoistic, collegiate pride, basically.
Yeah, all the guys had like been in that spot personally, so they all have relevant experience.
Not a fan of John Cook bringing up his NCAA title in the post round interview. That thought that was very weird.
With Matthew Wolf. Yeah. But Bob Papa, awesome. Papa, Billy Ray Brown.
I love it when you call me Bob Papa.
Anytime Papa's in the house.
Cookie.
Sign me up.
Nota. I thought Chantel McKay was a great interviewer. She would like come in hot with these questions.
She's so earnest.
Yeah, and she would just get right up in people's face and ask them the question. I loved it. I thought she did a great job.
She brings the same enthusiasm that she brings in shot makers to actual golf.
Yeah.
It's really refreshing.
I think the thing that was cool about the telecast is, and maybe this is just like an inherent characteristic of a telecast like this, but you know that it's going to be only hardcore fans that watch it. So you can kind of, you know, build it around just the golf. You don't need to overcomplicate it, which is what I think PGA Tour telecasts do a lot of time is, I don't know if they think that, like, I don't know.
They think everybody's an idiot.
It almost kind of feels like they are, sorry, we just looked up and had Hideki's birdie 5 in a row, just the hold up for eagle. The tour telecasts almost seem like there's just like people passing by. Like they're built for like people flipping through the channels.
Hey, look over here, there's golf going on.
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute, what is this? I'm going to watch it for 15 seconds and then I'm going to decide.
Yeah.
And it's just, they try to slip in all this like stupid shit that nobody asked for. And anyways.
Well, so two things. One, I forgot about Kurt Byram. Shout out Kurt Byram.
Pros.
Yeah. Phil Blackmar, Kurt Byram, Billy Ray Brown.
Yeah. I don't know if Phil Blackmar was there, but shout out anyway. I mean, I enjoy his work.
It was so good that I just ascribed him to being there. You know?
BRB might be there. He might be the goat.
Burkowski.
Labner. Labner was up there.
Yeah.
Just dishing intel.
But I think where it's most evident is... in the team matches, the team finals, when the deciding putt goes in, they don't say a word. And
almost to a fault.
Well, and they just let the noise, the emotion shine through. They replay it eventually from about three or four different angles. And to DJ's point, it almost gets to the point where it's like, oh, is the audio broken? Have they lost their line? But I think it's great. It's a great way to kind of soak in that moment as a viewer. Props to Golf Channel. I think it's important to praise when praise is
awesome
necessary.
Coverage. Yeah. No, it's good for the game too. I think it gets people excited about, like, it shows them a different format of golf. No. Do we want to go on to the...
Yeah, let's go to the ladies quickly. I thought, quite honestly, the drama in the women's tournament surpassed that of the men's tournament. The team champion was Arizona. They defeated Alabama. Alabama was runner-up, both men's and women. Arizona had a great story, though. So their 72-hole plays a stroke play to determine the top eight teams. Arizona, their last player out, they were two shots out of a tie for eighth place, and she was playing the ninth hole, which is a par five. She snakes in a huge left-to-right downhill eagle putt to force a team playoff. The team playoff was the biggest fuster cluck that I've ever seen. They sent five players from each team. They sent them out to different holes and then shotgun started them. Well, you know, some are playing a par three, some are playing a par five. So like it's aggregate score. So it's, you know, five scores drop the worst. So four score aggregate.
Who they wanted, like which players they wanted to send out on each hole?
Yeah.
Did it have to be like your number one?
No, they sent players to the hole they wanted. And so these ladies play their par three, and then they just have to sit and wait and listen to their official on the walkie-talkie because it's like 10-15 minutes later until the par five. You know, the people playing the par five complete play. It was just really weird, and TV, you know, TV's trying to get to all five holes, and daylight's running out. It was a complete mess. It was glorious. So anyway,
madness.
Yeah, Arizona, the women, Arizona, they defeated Baylor, so they get that eighth and final team spot, and then they just start, you know, they're on a heater then, and they just start running through quarterfinal, semifinal, and then the finals. The finals match came down to the last match on the course. It was 2-2. Both teams had two team points. and Haley Moore against, I'm going to butcher this name, but LeCabre Abba from Alabama. And she made a hell of a birdie on 18, Abe did, to force playoff. And then Haley Moore rolled in like a clutch 7-footer for par.
Your girl, Haley Moore.
And she was great. I love her swing. She's aggressive as hell. She's emotional. I was all in on Haley Moore. But yeah, I was really into the women's championship.
The Washington Stanford one, I can't remember if that was last year or 2 years ago. That was like, of all these NCAA championships we're talking about, like, that to me was the most exciting one of the last 4 years.
That to me, like, the whole week, or the whole 2 weeks, I should say, just makes you want to, like, I don't know, speak for myself, but I think you get a little jaded against going to golf tournaments. I mean, there's a lot of people, it's just not a lot of access, and kind of the whole thing. That, those kinds of tournaments are the exact kind of tournaments that I like going to now, I think. And also, there's enough, it's almost like, you know, college, the reason people like college football a lot, I think, is because, you know, there's so much more unpredictability. You know, you juxtapose watching Justin Rose close at Colonial, where it's like, oh, well, yeah, I mean, he's not going to make any mistakes. Like,
I didn't watch a single minute of
Colonial. Justin Rose. It's like, good for him. Like, that was a big win. Whereas you watch college event, you're like, dude, these guys could shank it at any minute.
Oh, the poor Abe from Alabama cold shanked a pitch on like 13 and then like blew one way right with a long iron. I was like, oh my God, if she starts shanking it coming out, I got to change the channel. Like, I can't watch that. That's horrible.
When Matt Every was over here the other day, that was the first thing he brought up. He's like, dude, you watch the women's NCAA? Like, he was glued to it.
But shout out, the Arizona, the woman that made the putt for Arizona was Bianca Pagdanganan. Pagdanganan. Dude, I loved her mindset too. She was no BS, getting after it.
I take that back. That was my second favorite, or second most exciting. The most exciting was when Bo Hostler, his arm fell off, and the theatrics and the drama. He's like Jason Day in training.
Oh my gosh.
So. Randy, I think we're due for a quick fake commercial break.
This segment of the Trap Draw has been brought to you proudly by the Buck Club, Utah's premier golf destination. The Buck Club offers the finest comfort stations in golf, as well as the most pristine containment mounting anywhere west of the Mississippi. For membership details or golf tee inquiries, please tweet Zach Blair and be sure to tell him Tron and Big Randy sent you. Also, use promo code CRACKON for special offers and discounts. Now back to the show. Okay, next thing we want to get into is a little web.com tour discussion. We were in Greenville. Web.yeah.
A lot of stars walking around Greenville, both in the golf and, you know, television, you know, other sports. What was kind of the big takeaway as far as, did you meet anybody that was, you know, really kind of shifted the paradigm?
Well, so we're out at dinner one night, and I'm just, like, I see him out of the corner of my eye, and I'm losing my mind, and I'm so nervous, and Curtis is like, what's wrong, mate? I said, Curtis, Spencer's here, man.
Spencer Levine.
Yeah, my favorite athlete, maybe of all time.
Behind who else is up there? Ed Reed,
Greg Maddux, Ed Reed, and I'm trying to think who else. There's a couple other ones in there. But anyway, Spencer.
Players to be named later.
Yeah, and like Jim Thorpe, the golfer. Jim,
I was gonna say, that cohort has very similar career accomplishments.
But anyway, so Spencer's upstairs, and Curtis is like, well, why don't we go say hi to him? I'm like, no, I don't want to bug him. I don't want to bother him.
I think you said you were too nervous.
I was too nervous. Yeah. I don't want to be that guy. I'm never that guy that intrudes. Everybody's just in their own space, kind of thing. Sure enough, Curtis is like, just shepherds me up to him upstairs. Carlton, Alfonso Ribeiro's sitting up there. Aaron Rodgers sitting up there. Max Homa. There's always celebs, but I'm just like, God, Spencer Levine. We walk right up, and Spencer's like, oh, lucky. Spencer's got like 3 Bud Lights in his hand, just toasted, and he couldn't. I mean, it surpassed all my expectations.
So never meet your hero, but you know, in this case. So far.
Yeah.
You guys are thick as thieves now, or what?
He wants to come on the main NLU pod. I tried to kind of steer him towards the trap draw.
The bespoke podcast.
Yeah. More of our craft podcast. But yeah, that was the highlight of probably 2018 for me thus far.
Huge.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's great.
So,
very successful week in Greenville.
And then, I went to Nashville to caddy for Zach. He called in the big righty out of the bullpen. I'm sure like 19 other people bailed on him before he called me. So I'm like, I can do it. Pissed off my wife in the process. And
you brought my briefcase all the way here.
So
let me interject here, Tron. Set the stage for what I want to get into next.
This is three mostly successful days.
This is Sunday afternoon.
And we get to Sunday. I mean,
yeah, three successful days. You guys are battling weather, kind of start, stop, start, stop.
We got the bad end of the draw.
Yeah.
Because we had to come back out on Saturday morning to finish our second round, and then we were at the course. So it basically precluded us going to cool restaurants in Nashville on Friday and Saturday, which really killed our vibe.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service.
So DJ and I are here in Jack's. Sunday morning, I believe we went out to the beach, did a little stand-up paddle boarding.
Sure.
It was the big guy's first time out on the waves. We went and caught breakfast at local eatery. We're just having a very relaxing, tremendous little Sunday. And I think we're sitting on the couch watching the end of Colonial, and we get a text.
Well, Zach had shot 32 on the front.
Zach had shot 32. Yeah. Tron the night before was like, guys, Zach has found it. Like
he's found it. I'm reading all of his putts for him.
Tron's, he's like, I'm reading everything for him. I've found my calling. Like I can't hit putts, but I can read them. And so we're sitting on the couch Sunday, and we get this. Well, first of all, before we even got the text, I'm following on the app, and I see that Zach had made a triple. At like the par 4 11th, I want to say.
Like he whiffed two balls in the green, basically.
Yeah,
it was, we played the back first.
Okay, so it was maybe his 11th, maybe the second hole or something. I'm like, huh, that's weird.
Uncharacteristic.
The only blemish really on his card. Well, maybe an hour, 2 hours later upon completion, we get a text, and it's Tron. And he's like, guys, I got a two-stroke penalty on Zach.
Which I think I just breezed past. I thought it was a joke.
And, kind of no exaggeration, that may have been the highlight of DJ and I's year right there.
And then Sally.
Got us, like, up off our feet. Yeah. We were, like, fist pumping in the air.
Sally perked up. Like, he was like, wait. Like, I hadn't heard from him in 3 days. And he's like, wait, what? Like, this is awesome. I love this.
Like, Tron materially impacted a professional golf tournament.
Well, I didn't materially impact it because he would have finished in the same.
Okay.
He would have finished like tied for 65th instead of 66th.
Which we were bucking our heads.
I cost him like $40.
We were like, how much money did Tron cost?
Yeah, it turned out it was between basically like 1858 and like 1882 or something.
No way.
Like so it ended up being like a $30 difference.
Oh yeah, it was the like $40. Oh, they were saying the difference was 1800.
No. So then it became even funnier when like the impact was like $40 out of Zach's pocket. Hopefully Tron's pocket.
So Tron, I guess what you need to walk us through now is walk us through the two-shot penalty that you incurred.
Yeah, so...
Which is a disgrace.
Which is a complete disgrace.
Yeah, so we're in Fuego on the front, or on his front.
We.
Great use of the word we.
I'm shepherding him around. I'm an alpha. First of all, this course, Nashville Golf Links of America, it was built in 1970 for the express purpose of having a U.S. Open.
How'd that go?
My knowledge, they have not yet hosted the U.S. Open.
Spoiler.
The greens are maybe 30% of their original size. Like the first hole is...
I heard there was a blind pond out there.
Yeah, there's a pond and another pond. Cam Percy hit it in it 2 days in a row. And he goes, oh, mate, this hole's just got me beat. This is after his caddy... like walks up to me on the range. He actually lives a block away from the kill house.
Oh, sick.
And he walks up to me. He's like, he just looks at my shorts. He goes, yeah, man. Solids. And I'm like, what? He's solid shorts out here. I'm wearing seersucker shorts. We're in Nashville. Okay. If I can't wear seersucker shorts in Nashville, then like, what are we even doing?
Solid shorts.
Solid shorts on the big tour.
That's what he said.
Yeah, and I said, well, this ain't the big tour, Coleman.
To be fair, Seersucker's a disgrace also.
So yeah, I thought my scripting was good all week. So then he's like, yeah, so if one of the rules officials comes up to you and tells you that, I'm like, none of the rules officials are gonna come up to me. Rico, one of the rules officials, comes up and he's like, yo, Tron! Like, and like, we have been talking about,
you big know, fan.
Yeah, and so we talked, and you know, there was a bunch of weather delays too. Like, Zach warmed up like 9 times. So we're just fried. All right. So it starts, so Zach had been bitching at me on the front nine that I wasn't keeping the towel wet enough.
Okay.
Too. So he soaks the towel when we make the turn to the first hole. And
delighted to see how this impacts this.
So the towel is soaked. So I'm getting more and more. I'm flying closer and closer to the sun.
Just mentally.
The more birdies we're making. Oh, okay. We probably should have made 6 birdies on the front.
Okay.
You know, I'm pointing at it with the flag, but I'm keeping it, you know, 6 to 10 inches above the ground.
You're pointing at what with the flag?
The line. Okay. Like where he needs to be aiming.
Yeah.
I'm like there with pace, you know. Yeah. Making everything. All right.
Kind of an alignment aid you're being at.
But I know the rule, all right? Like, I caddied a little bit growing up. I've caddied
well,
in the
USGA. Well, that remains to be seen.
So the rule for any listeners, yeah, is you're not allowed to touch the line of the putt.
You can't physically touch the ground.
With like a line.
So anyway, so we're on the second hole and I'm so locked in on this putt, and it's like a big par putt, and Zach's hit kind of, you know, I'm pissed off at him because he got a little cheeky with the chip. We had this big discussion. I had him write down all of his yardages the night prior because he's just making boneheaded decisions. And
yeah.
I'm like, write down all your yardages, let's get it laminated, and like you're talking yourself out of good numbers and you're thinking too much. Just commit to a shot and hit it instead of trying to create some shot. And it actually ended up working really well. So we're
quick timeout.
Yeah.
You, in your first time caddying in a professional event, the night before, you made him write down. You
this
gave
is
him
after
homework,
3 days with him.
You gave him homework and made him laminate a sheet.
Well, it helped me
to
too.
Impact his decisions.
I was gonna say this may have been better on like Wednesday night instead of Saturday.
Well, we didn't
do a practice round either. So we're playing this course blind.
We didn't do a practice round, or he didn't do a practice round.
We didn't. He didn't even do a practice
round. Did you get out early and walk it?
No, I got there like Wednesday night, and then we went and ate at some great restaurant.
That's a disgrace.
All right, he picked me up from the airport.
Was it business or pleasure?
So Curtis, it was both. Curtis tells Zach, he's like, yeah, mate, like it's a really straightforward course. Like,
and that was good enough for you.
So
guys.
So Zach walked like one of the 9 holes, but didn't play it, and then the other 9, Curtis is like, yeah, it's really straightforward. Like 8 of the 9 tee shots, or 6 of the 7 tee shots on non-par 3s are blind.
Not good.
It's like, Curtis, what the hell, man? So we get to 2. I'm really pumped about the line. Things are going great. We're playing with Big E and Big D.
Oh,
yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Very comfortable pairing.
Yeah.
For the kids.
Yeah, everybody's playing well. We're 4 under. Like great decision making on 1. That hole just giving us fits all week. We conquered it.
We rocked it.
No, I was like, dude, just hit the fucking 5-iron. Like, it was this jacked up hole. So anyway, I'm pointing at the line, and I don't know if the flag stick just slipped. Like, I was pointing too close.
Maybe your hands were too wet from the
towel. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, got it.
But sorry to ruin it.
Yeah. So then,
spoiler alert.
So then Zach's like, yo, watch out! Like, Ed just like turns away, just like laughing, and I'm like, what? I thought I was stepping in Ed's line. Like, Ed had already basically finished out. And he's like, you can't touch the line. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if it slipped. Like, I don't know what happened. And then, like,
things,
you know,
are moving quickly.
Yeah, things are moving really quickly. So then the next hole's a 670-yard putt.
Whoa, yeah, hold on. You just, like, yada-yada the best part.
So did Rico come in and buck his head and slap you guys with the penalty?
Not right then. So then Zach misses the putt. Because he's so, you know, things are moving so quick.
Was your first instinct cover up?
No. So actually, so then, you know, the rules official comes over and he's like, well, it sounds like it like slipped. And I'm like, dude, I can't.
Is it Rico?
No, it wasn't Rico. It was like 5 rules officials. Yeah.
Rico might have gave you a little wink, wink.
So Zach, like after the next, like Zach's thinking about, you know, he's like, he plays the next hole and he calls for a rules official in the meantime. Rules official meets up with us after the next hole. Zach explains, the guy asked me what happened. He's like, so it sounds like it slipped. I was like, I can't say for sure that it slipped. Like I could have just, I could have just been a total moron. Like, you know, I was like, I know the rule, but like, I just, like I had a brain
chose
fart.
To disregard it.
And I talked to Matty Kelly. Matty Kelly said he almost like made the same mistake last year because he just gets
so into it.
Yeah, the great ones.
Your competitors.
Yeah. I'm an alpha, and so
you fell on the sword.
So the rules official. So I'm like, you know, I can't say for sure. Like he kind of gave me an out. I was like, dude, I think like we got to take the penalty here.
What's Zach lobbying for at this point?
Zach's just,
is he trying to be like, dude, you slipped, right?
No, I mean he wanted to do the right thing from the very start, and I was like, you know, unless I know 100% that it slipped and I wasn't just being an idiot. Like
that's very honorable then.
Yeah. So then, but the rules official, like in the meantime, he calls the USGA. Like they're having this big powwow in the clubhouse. Like
they call Jeff Hall. Or
they
someone?
Didn't know like what the actual, like if it had slipped, he's like, well, let me just get the full like scope here.
Inadvertent.
Yeah. He was like, if it's inadvertent, we're not sure what the rule is. Like, you know, we've never really seen this before. We have to call the USGA. So then, you know, in the meantime, I'm like I can't say for sure that it slipped. Like, just, you know, like we need to take the penalty. So, yeah. So then we end up, you know, we end up battling him.
Yeah. Barstool Trump, we love that guy.
So we end up battling. You know, Zach ended up shooting a 1-under 71, really a 3-under 69, and. You know, and then Ed's just starts pestering me in the DMs, like, "Oh man, I can't wait to see how this one plays out."
Yeah. So well, now, I had heard rumblings. I think that's I picked up rumblings too before you had texted us from Ed.
There were reports
like something went down. Yeah.
So now you're out of a job.
I'm out of a job. Yeah.
He fired you publicly.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
He relieved you of your duties.
He was very supportive. He gave me a vote of confidence. He said,
you're like
a
mooch. You got fired on Twitter.
And then he fired me like after he got back.
Maybe
back,
a shorter run than the mooch.
Back to the Canton, back in Salt Lake City. You know, he fired me. So, but he,
God,
he,
what
he
a
did
story.
Ask for my address. He's going to send me my pay for the week.
Is he going to dock the $30?
I hope so. That's the right thing. If he doesn't, I'm going to send him a check back.
Well, we might be able
or you should donate to charity.
Yeah.
We might be able to give him some store credit also. Yeah. The NLU Fresh
I'm going to donate it to the Blair Wish Project.
That's cool. I think that'd be the right thing to do. Man, that's quite a saga.
That's the best story.
But yeah, I mean, other takeaways, you know, really it was like 99.9% of my work last week was just totally on point. I was just a consummate professional.
But that's how they get you.
Exactly. You know, I felt like it was kind of a...
It's kind of nice perspective for you.
What do you think your total strokes gained putting or
caddying
was?
I know I gained him at least 3 strokes on the front. Because
which kind of worked out.
Exactly. So he's still ahead of the game.
So ZB came out ahead.
Yeah. I mean, he's surprisingly like not a very good green reader.
Really?
Yeah, like self-admitted. Huh. And then... But yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm, you know, he's got some professional caddies that work for him, and I'm not Ricky or what's his other guy's name?
Andy.
Andy Martinez caddied for Johnny Miller for like 20 years.
Might be the caddy. Tom Lehman.
But yeah, I mean, my bunker aching is unbelievable.
Yeah. Were you nervous about that? I would be nervous about that.
Well, the sand at this place was. It was like the sand at Barnboogle. Like there was just so damn much of it. Like the ball would plug in any lie.
Not good.
Like Zach had a ball that was like halfway to China.
Really?
It was so plugged. But yeah, and then you know, other takeaways.
Give me like 3 quick takeaways.
Right. We played with Brian Ritchie. He was cool. Julian Etchelane was cool. Kind of a fiery Argentinian. We played with Ryan Brehm on Saturday as well. I wanted to quit golf. After we played with him, like, and nothing against Ryan personally, like, nice guy, his caddy was really nice, but like it was a disgrace. He was hitting his 4-wood like 310, right? Like he couldn't keep his driver on the planet.
So,
Sick.
I was wondering, so he made you want to quit golf just because it's a game that, like, you just, it's just gotten out of control.
It's just
no
different.
No clue where his driver
was
going.
He's playing a different game.
He's banging this four wood, and it was the epitome of bomb and gouge to a point that I've never even, like, dreamt existed. He was six under on the par fives that day, and he shot 68 or 69, like, beat Zach like a drum. And
whose fault is that?
He's not a good golfer. Like, he hits the hell out of the ball, but, like, the shots that he was hitting around the greens or, like, his putting.
He's
a thrower, not a pitcher. Like, I was disgusted. I was so angry by the end of the day.
Huh.
So, again, nothing against Ryan personally, but, like...
No offense to anyone.
It represented everything that's wrong with the modern game. Like, if he swung like that at a ball with, you know, with a wound ball with a, you know, a smaller driver head, like, the ball would be spinning into orbit.
You can't... It's a hard discussion, because you can't, like, fault somebody for doing that.
Well, and then, like, he was hitting the ball so far offline in certain spots.
It's very Trump in that, like, if you don't like the exploitation, close the loopholes kind of thing.
Well,
like,
he hit the ball so far offline on number 18 that he hit it into the Chewy's, like, food truck that was, like, 70 yards off the fairway on the other side of this hospitality tent on, like, 15. And he got a drop that was so... Like, I was like, how did that even happen? How was that even in the realm of possibility that he got to drop it there? It was totally within the rules. He got line of sight and everything. But, like, how is this even... Like, we're not playing golf here, guys. You know, we're doing something else. This isn't golf.
It's a disgrace.
So, anyway.
Tell me about James Driscoll's outfit.
Yeah, James Driscoll. So, Zach's been known
James Driscoll needs to get on the pod.
Wear the buff.
Well, friend of Cron and Randy, too.
Yeah.
Really?
He may not know that, but...
Oh, I didn't know that.
We shared a meal.
We've broken bread with him.
At Francois's place.
Yeah, Francois's crib.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan.
Our Alsatian Vinter friend.
Yeah.
Let's
hear more on that in a future episode.
James Driscoll, he was wearing like SPF 9 billion. He was wearing a buff all the way up to his eyes. And he had like the spandex sleeves on, and then he was wearing like this little ass fedora on top of the buff. It was unbelievable.
That's incredible.
I wasn't able to snap a pic of it. I needed to. Brandon Matthews, met him in Greenville, saw him again in Nashville. He played well, finished top 10. He's like, he might be the longest player in the world. Like, and he hits it really, really, really straight too. Cam Davis won, young Aussie, not afraid to go low. Marty Doe,
yeah,
aka the Doughboy,
sure.
Is what Zach calls him. Kind of saw him popping in and out of his minivan that he drives from tournament to tournament. It's got Texas plates on it. His buddy caddies for him. His buddy went on strike last year because he said he wasn't paying him enough. And he's like, no, man, you're not like a professional caddy. You're my friend.
He wanted Tron money.
Did you talk to the shrimp at all?
I acknowledged the shrimp. I shook his hand, but I didn't really talk to him. He stuck around all weekend and practiced after he missed the cut. Rafa Campos, for 2 weeks straight, I did not see him without a cigarette in his mouth or
nice.
His hand. Patrick Newcomb,
Mr. Three Wiggle.
Yeah. His outfits, he wore all black one day with a black bucket. It was like 95 degrees.
That sounds exhausting.
Yeah, it was. His outfits
aggro.
Were crazy. First day, we pull up on the range, and they had the little, you know, range, like the little nameplates out there. And when we set up shop next to Owen, and I'm like, I thought it was Greg Owen. And he starts talking, and I'm like, Zach, I thought Greg Owen was English.
Yo, Zach.
And this guy's got a good swing. He's hitting the shit out of the ball. It's Jake Owen, the country music star. I think a big mistake for us was, you know, we ate good all week. Somebody got after us for eating at chain restaurants a couple nights in a row, and I was like, guys, like, right next to the hotel. We're off again at 6:30 tomorrow morning.
Hey, you don't have to answer to them.
We went to the Cheesecake Factory for brunch.
For kind of symbolic reasons.
Because we kept seeing Kramer Hickok's Discovery Lanco bag on the range. So we went to the Cheesecake Factory after we finished our second round on Saturday morning before we started the third round. That was not a good decision. I think that threw Zach's patterns
off. Yeah, that seems like a tough meal for a professional athlete to eat before a competition.
The big Lebiota, yeah. Hank Lebiota, really impressed with him. He's lefty, dresses well, great swing. Wyndham Clark, I could watch him hit balls in the range for hours.
Thank you for your service.
Did you thank him for his service?
I did thank him for his service. Uncle Rico, not Rico, the rules official.
Rico Hoey.
Oh,
did you get to watch him?
He played ahead of us like the whole week. He hit 6-iron into a 660-yard par 5.
He might hit it too hard.
Yeah. No, he was warming up with drivers off the deck on the range too. But yeah, anyway, it was a great week. Even the penalty included, because you know, fool me once, shame on me. You're not gonna fool me twice.
I think the penalty took it from good to great.
I agree, wholeheartedly.
And I owned it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I think penalties are good. I think they're a good discussion point in an often fairly boring sport.
Yeah.
All right.
Speaking of that, we were kind of talking about rules officials watching the Memorial today.
This is a good take.
It's gotten to the point where like it takes, and the commentator, look, I don't really know the rules of golf. I'll give myself a cop out in that I'm not a professional golfer. But like I know a lot of the other rules of my industry, you know, and like I feel pretty confident in being able to follow them.
We know libel and slander and copyright.
Most of these most of these drops, gosh, you hit it in the water, it takes
nobody
minutes.
Wants to take any personal responsibility.
Yeah, it's getting kind of crazy. I think a couple commentators, I think actually Faldo, we bag on Faldo a lot. He's kind of, I think he's right about that one.
Johnny gets on
and
this
Johnny,
all the time.
Of course, yeah.
Of course.
But I don't know. I wouldn't mind.
So what's the take?
I think the rules officials should be able to be like, almost like a parent, where
I'm gonna let you make your own mistakes.
Apathetic kids are like, I don't know how to do it. It's like, you better figure it out. I don't know what to tell you. Like that's right. But I think they should still stay there and watch. And if they mess up like something very easy, like there should be a rating scale. Like, okay, well that drop is a 3 out of 10 technically, so you should be able to handle this. No problem.
5 or below, you shouldn't have to call a rules.
But I'm gonna stand here, and if you make a mistake,
I'm gonna call you on it.
Dude, you know what you should have is lifelines, like on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Yeah. Like you can only call Slugger or Rico or whomever like twice in 1 week.
I think that's good.
Yeah, I love it. Good.
You know,
I love it. All right, well let's cut here. We got another. Slew of advertisers we got to get to, so we will showcase them now. Guys, complete honesty, we don't have a real sponsor for this segment of the show, so instead we thought we'd shout out some local Jack's Beach establishments that are near and dear to our heart. DJ?
Yeah, I'm going to shout out Third Street Barber. Candy Viola does a great job. She takes appointments by text only. She texted me to have a good Memorial Day the other day. Just very personal touch.
Tron?
I'm going to go with Benjamin Jerky. Randy recently introduced me to this fine establishment located in the back of the, I think it's a Sitgo or a Circle K.
Circle K, yeah.
And I've really been chewing on them all day. They're excellent jerky.
And I am going to shout out Two Dudes Seafood Restaurant, the center of the maze. And now back to our show. And we're back. All right.
Thanks again to our sponsors who make all this possible.
Yeah,
really magnanimous. Okay, a couple quick hitters here before we get out. The first, it was just announced the tour is headed to Michigan starting next year, specifically Detroit Golf Club. Sponsored by my boy Dan Gilbert and Quicken Loans. What do you guys think?
Well, first of all, I don't even know what PMI.
What even is?
What does he mean? What does it even PMI mean, Rick?
We've seen that Quicken Loans commercial a lot on the Golf Channel recently. So I think it's, I mean, I'll jump in. I think it's great.
It's great. Yeah. Tour belongs in Michigan. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I think it's one of those things that. You know, Randy, I know you're not a big Quicken Loans guy, but, you know, it's
scummy.
It's means to an end. You know, if that's what it takes to get an event there, I think that's great. And also, shout out to Quicken. I mean, like, they had an event in D.C. They weren't happy with it. And they basically said, from everything I've heard, they basically said, hey, we're not going to sponsor an event unless it's in Detroit. And they got it worked out, and the tour got it worked out, and that's great.
The only person I feel bad for is the superintendent at TPC Potomac.
Because that
might be the only course that's been firm on the entire schedule for like the last 2 years. That guy did an exceptional job.
Yeah.
But I think the course looks cool.
Yeah.
It's in a crappy neighborhood, I guess, which is even cooler in my opinion. Right. You know,
they have 36 holes there. I think we weren't sure whether they'll use.
I think they're going to play a composite.
Yeah, the north course or make a composite. So all around good news there.
Hopefully there's a tour event going to Minneapolis, the Twin Cities here.
The upper Midwest.
Allegedly they're talking about that too. Yeah. So we'll see.
They need one. That'd be next.
Yeah. It's a golf crazed community up there.
All right, let's get out on this topic, and it's one we're all gonna answer. Okay, I need you guys to name me one guy who is prime to kind of break through the line of scrimmage and get in the open field and buck his head the rest of the year. Doesn't have to be necessarily the PGA Tour; it could be any tour you want. And then one guy you're concerned might stink.
DJ, why don't you lead us off, man?
I'm going to strictly go, I mean, this is recency bias. I'm looking at a leaderboard here, but it seems like I'm seeing his name pop up more and more. And I know, he's just a good player. Grayson Murray. Yeah. I mean, I know he's got one W already, but guy could start knocking off a few more if we're not careful.
I don't even mind Grayson. I think he's kind of harmless.
All right. We'll go bucking his head. I think Bryson, big data. Bryson DeChambeau is. I'm looking at him to make the Ryder Cup team.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think he's primed.
I'm pretty concerned that Hostler is turning into like the American Monty, but just he'll win more. Like he's got that swing. He's really, and I love Monty now, but like he's just Hostler's gonna be a good player, and I don't know if I'm cool with that.
All right, who's one guy you're concerned might stink?
I mean, I don't feel great about saying this, but does Phil stink?
Yeah, well, I think we should preface this by saying everybody probably stinks.
Except for Streb.
Phil might stink for sure.
I think he might stink. He's just...
He's old.
He's been pretty uninspiring of late. Since Mexico, I guess, really. It's been pretty bleak.
Yeah. I think... I hate to say this, but I think Rory really might stink.
Like we're going back to is Rory like a rich man's Ryan Brem?
To the point where he's a thrower, not a pitcher. It's looking like it.
I don't want to let any look. No one respects your takes more than I do. Rory was one shot off of victory last week in at the European Tour. Well, I just want
Noren labeled his third round the greatest round he's ever seen.
Look, I can't.
Well, he might stink.
I can't sleep on you throw that out without challenging it.
I think the point of this exercise is to make a case that anybody at any time might stink.
Okay.
And I stand by it.
So you're saying currently he might stink?
He might stink.
Look, last week's last week.
He's left me wanting far more often than he's impressed me.
And also there's a bit of a stink sliding scale also, right? So like...
Of whom much is expected.
Yeah, you know, it's yeah. Rory has to do a lot
to not
more
stink.
To not stink. Is I think... Look, it's not my scale. I'm trying to keep up.
You're kind of an ombudsman here.
Yeah, but is that fair to say?
Yeah, sure. Listen. Hey, listen. All right, whatever helps you sleep at night, however you want to, that's fine.
I'm saying
Rory might stink.
I'm going to say it. I think Spieth might stink. And I think Greller needs to quit.
And he needs to ditch Spieth.
He needs to ditch Spieth. Get on. I think Greller should go caddy for Rory.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
You know, I don't think Spieth's gonna stink forever.
I don't know if the sponsors are gonna stand by these days.
And then Doug Gim's dad gets on Spieth's bag.
There you go.
Texas guys.
Yeah.
There you go.
Damn.
I guess they're from Illinois. But
that might be the play.
So. Spieth, the putting and just, everything just seems so. He just seems in his own head about
pipe
everything,
down, DJ.
You know.
I know. I think the U.S. Open's big. I can't wait to see.
You know, see that being said, he'll probably win at Carnoustie, which, like, in order to not stink, you kind of have to win two majors a year, I think.
And I don't think that bar's too high. I don't think that's unreasonable.
Is anything less the than other a championship a failure for you this week?
Well, the other one of my there's two questions. Other guys that don't that definitively don't stink. Leishman, Streb, and Fleetwood might be the only guys in the world that don't stink.
What about Dustin?
Well, Dustin's the greatest player of all time.
I almost said Dustin might stink right now. Right now.
These are a lot of guys that have almost knocked off wins recently.
Yeah.
But I think that's
what you have to remember. Well, what you have to remember is everybody stinks.
Okay.
And when everybody stinks, maybe nobody stinks. So
there you have it, folks.
There you have it. Think about that as well.
All right. Max is the spot for that track draw.
And Ziploc that right on my waistline is why I kept that strap. Yeah. I remember nights, I didn't remember nights. I damn near went crazy, I had to get it right. Now I'm your favorite rapper's favorite rapper. Hey, now I'm your favorite trapper's favorite trapper. The absolute truth, yeah, no joke. Who me, I murder.